this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
The world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here is a wacky story from Germany. Listen to this. A tired German bank employee was working at his keyboard and was supposed to be transferring 62.40 euros. That's basically like $81.12 in the U.S., okay? But the guy actually fell asleep at his desk while pushing the number 2 on the keyboard, and he actually transferred 222,222,222 euro and 22 cents. That's the equivalent of almost 295 million U.S. dollars. And after the transfer was done, it took a while for the bank to discover the mistake and correct the error, but they then fired the guy's 48-year-old colleague because he let the mistake slip through when he was verifying the order. So this was taken to court, and the court ruled that the plaintiff should be reinstated in his job. It was just an honest mistake for everybody involved. See just how quickly big things can happen. Weird mistakes can occur in the computer age, something that we are going to be talking a lot about on tonight's program. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. I'm a little bit concerned, though, about all of this stuff happening in the news with all the spying and all the manipulation that's taking place on the civilian level. Not that there's anything new about it, but, you know, Forrest, I've actually had some personal experiences with this. Do you remember years ago when I sort of broke this story on Coast to Coast AM about an anomaly on the moon?
Yes, the smokestacks.
That's right, that's right. And of course, after that, a lot of weird sort of spooky government spy stuff started happening around our little team. And I'm going to talk some about that tonight and how the, you know, this computer age, it's opening up a lot of opportunities for spying. In fact, let me tell you something, Forrest, that is really annoying here. You and most of our listeners know that there are a lot of websites that are associated with the stuff that we do, whether it's speakingofstrange.com or hauntedashville.com or sunshinesimple.com or paranormalpuertorico.com or joshuapwarren.com or brownmountainlights.com. I got a lot of domains. And about a week ago, the server that handles our websites got hacked. And there were at least 50,000 websites that were affected by this.
Oh, man.
Basically, you wake up one day and you start getting these alerts like there is malware, you know, that is on your website. And so immediately, Mobius and I started working on this, trying to get rid of these viruses and clean everything up and secure everything, get patches downloaded from the server. And do you know that Google went in and did what they call a blacklist on some of our websites? So that means if you go to like hauntedashville.com or paranormalpuertorico.com, if it's blacklisted, you'll go there and you'll just have a big warning page from Google that will say, sorry, you know, you shouldn't go to this website because you're probably going to get a virus, right?
Well, that explains it. I had a couple people on Twitter email me this week, or tweet me this week, if you would, saying that they couldn't get to the podcast page, that something was going wrong with the podcast page, and I just gave them the direct link to the podcast page. So that might have been something going on along those lines.
Well, it probably was, because that you see, here's what's annoying about this whole thing. Obviously, the people who do this stuff should be shot, you know, these hackers. But I understand that if you get a virus that's been uploaded onto your website without your knowledge, and then Google comes in there and blocks access to your site, and I understand that. You got to quarantine it. But as soon as you go in and clean it up, Google should then immediately reactivate access to your site. And they take their sweet-ass time to do that. And so, you know, and that's what is really sort of irritating, is that, you know, there are people who are depending on those sites being up because of various events and functions that we have going on. So if the site's clean, you know, Google was quick to swoop in there and block access. Well, they should be just as fast to go in and, like you say, relist it and say, okay, it's been cleaned up. But no, we're just sitting around with some of these sites, and you're just totally at the mercy of Google and these other companies that can blacklist sites like that. And I think about how quickly this sort of thing can happen. Now, if somebody hacks into some of our sites, it's not the end of the world, okay? It's only going to mainly affect me and my associates. But imagine if, you know, you have these sites that are affecting millions of people, these banking sites or these sites that are controlling airlines. And all. Just look at how delicate and sensitive these are. And it's really just a matter of time before some type of huge calamity happens, don't you think?
It is.
Yeah. Now, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, we presume that your website is going to be okay, but you've told me that at Wright's Coin Shop, when the power goes out, you guys just get pencils and pads and just keep right on going. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. We are totally old school.
Yeah. So you're not too concerned about a lot of the computer problems that are popping up nowadays, huh?
Not at all. It won't affect us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how have you been doing in general, Shelley?
Doing very well. How about you? How's the investigating going?
Well, you know, tomorrow I'm going out on a big boating adventure. I'm going to be on a boat all day long. And it's always a little bit weird down here in Puerto Rico, because you can't really plan anything definitively, because the weather can be so inconsistent and the ocean can get so rough. So there have been a number of occasions when I plan to go out and do stuff on boats, and at the last minute, you know, the captain says, it's just too choppy today, we can't do it. But my plan is to go out tomorrow and have a full day and evening on the water, and probably have some little adventures to come back and tell you guys about.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a very busy past week, though, because I have, you know, I did Coast to Coast AM. I did another show called Living with the Spirits, and on the that's a great show that a guy named John Tobin hosts, and his co-host Chip. And then I've been working on four books now. I was asked to write an article for Fate magazine, so I presume I'll do that. It's just incredible how busy things are. You know, I'm down here on this island, and it should sort of be like relaxing a paradise. But I'm doing a lot of working every day. My biceps are getting big. I'm drinking so many beers. You know how that goes.
Speaking
amazing.
You bring up Fate magazine. Part of the pun, but what is the fate of Fate magazine right now? I know it's gone through some changes. What's its status right now? Do you know?
Well, yeah, they're sort of trying to shift more into an e-publication status, and I think they're kind of like taking the phenomenon surrounding Kindles and e-readers, and they're really trying to shift, I think, more into the digital market than the paper market. And honestly, I don't know if they still have the same printed paper circulation that they did for so many years. I doubt it, because you know it is so easy to just pick up one of these devices and hit a button and download your content.
Well, I know, because for years Fate magazine was on a tabloid size print, then they went to a like Reader's Digest size print, and then I've not picked one up in the past year, so I don't know what their status is right now.
Yeah, I always look at their website, so I'm not certain what the printed version is like. So, you know, they're doing the whole digital thing. But, and again, it ties in to what we're going to be talking about tonight, because when you consider how much that we invest in these digital formats, and you consider how comfortable we have become with them, we are forgetting just how incredibly vulnerable they are. And how that, you know, they are not only allowing us to maybe make our lives easier by posting stuff out there cheaply that others can access, but it's also making it easier for other people to come into your life, to come into your house, and to look at your information. And it's an interesting time right now when everybody's talking about spying and computers and privacy and information. And that's why that, you know, I think I got an advanced glimpse of all this when the moon thing went down. Now, some of you who have followed this show for a long time, you know what I'm talking about.
It was 10 years ago this summer.
Was it 10
years
ago?
It was 10 years ago this summer.
Okay. Well, so there you go then. We're talking about even 10 years ago, I was able to see the trend that was happening with how the government was beginning to use chat rooms and discussion forums to get involved in shaping the public sentiment and spreading disinformation. So hour number two, I've got some really interesting stuff that I'm going to share with all of you, and I think that you'll find it fascinating. But we're up on our first break here. And when we come back, let's just go into some weird news. How about that? We got plenty of it. We'll start with one in Mexico, and I know you've probably heard of explosions after you eat Mexican food, but this takes a different spin, if you know what I mean. And then, gosh, we have a story about a new UFO that's been seen in the UK. We've got stories about drones. We're going to dig into it all. It's a show where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Thanks for spending your Saturday night with us. And, you know, I want to point out something. Obviously, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a live chat. And I was telling everybody before the break that, you know, recently we got hacked. And so, you know, we've been working on getting all of our sites cleaned up. Well, I want to tell you all that the sites are cleaned up. So if you go to, say, hauntedasheville.com or paranormalpuertorico.com, and this page comes up from Google that says, warning, you know, this could harm your computer. Proceed at your own risk. Well, I'm here to tell you, feel free to proceed at your own risk, because they are cleaned up. We're just sitting around waiting for Google, while they twiddle their thumbs, to rescan the page to remove that warning page. And they just, you know, they do that on their own schedule. So I think a lot of times, especially if you're on a desktop, it'll say something like advanced option. And if you click that, then you can proceed at your own risk. But another thing, if you're interested in taking any of our haunted Asheville tours, let me give you the phone number. You can just call. I mean, we've got the trolley tours, the walking tours, the mystery museum. You can call us at 828-398-4678. Again, that's 828-398-4678. And our little cutesy way of giving out the phone number is to say it's 828-398-GHOST, but it's actually G-O-S-T, because ghost has an H, and that makes it five letters, but we only have four numbers. Does that make sense, Shelley Wright?
Yes, it does.
So that's why we put G-O-S-T. Isn't that a cute little way of doing it?
It's very cute. And you can see it on the poster that's at the coin shop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, you look at it every day, then.
Yes, I do.
By the way, has anybody bought the special piece of art that you've had at your shop, Shelley?
Not yet. You know, we've only talked about it during a couple of shows briefly. So I think somebody should come in and take a look at it.
I thought you were this great sales lady. What's up with this?
Maybe it was some coins.
Yeah. Okay, it comes with a coin now.
Well, somebody did come in, though, and they thought that it was some rare coins that they were going to have a chance at. And, I had to tell them it wasn't coins.
It's a poster. It's a beautifully framed 20 by 30 poster, and it's an original piece of photographic art that if whoever goes to Shelley's shop, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you can go to Wright's Coin Shop and you can see it. I will tell you this. It has a little vampire twist to it, and you tell her how much you'll pay for it. She'll haggle with you, and then she'll get as much money out of you as possible. Right, Shelley?
I am so fun to haggle with. Please, bring it on.
And then you'll get this amazing thing to hang on your wall. Well, you know, Shelley, of course, you and I went on the Transylvania expedition last year,
yes,
in May of 2012. And there was recently another Transylvania expedition. Dave Schrader took back a group, and it's my understanding that he's going to do something around Halloween in Transylvania as well this year. Do you know about that, Shelley?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I need to get the scoop from Dave on that. But I got an email from Dave Schrader. Now, of course, for those who may not recall, our friend Dave Schrader is the host of Darkness Radio, which is headquartered there out of the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And he sent an email to me and some other hosts, and Dave has suggested that we do a collective thought experiment with our audiences. And so Dave suggested that we tell all our audiences on Wednesday, June 26th, at 11 a.m. East Coast time, we want everybody to focus on two things. Focus on it raining in Colorado, where they're having a drought, which I figure, Forrest and Shelley, that would be very good for you guys, because you can just start channeling all that rain from North Carolina over to Colorado, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the second thing is also try to focus on there being no storms caused by this in Oklahoma, where they keep getting, you know, pummeled with storms. And so we're going to see if we can get millions of people focusing their thought. And again, this was Dave's idea, so I say, sure, why not? Let's see what happens. So Wednesday, June 26th, 11 a.m., everybody think about it raining in Colorado where they need, well, they need moisture, and then think about no storms in Oklahoma, and we'll just take a look and see what happens that day, and we'll report on the show. So it's always fun to do these kind of collective thought experiments. And I actually wasn't even aware that they were having a drought in Colorado. Did you know that, Forrest?
I had heard something about it, but, you know, they keep showing on the news broadcast here in Asheville, how much of a surplus we have. They keep saying, oh, we're almost, there's places that are almost 2 feet above average right now, which
yeah,
is crazy.
If it keeps up.
I mean, you think of, like, we're getting so much rain, and then, like, a few hundred miles away, they're in a drought.
It's definitely bizarre. I mean, and I'm assuming that landslides are going to become an issue if they already are not, when you have mountains that are getting this drenched, right?
So. Especially over in Maggie Valley, I think there's already been some this season.
Yeah. Wow. So, Forrest, speaking of Colorado, when you think of Colorado, what comes to your mind? Probably like big scenic mountains.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's say you think of, Switzerland. What do you think of?
Big scenic mountain chalets. Pretty much.
You think of chocolate, maybe?
Yeah.
Chocolate watches.
Watches.
Watch making.
Yeah.
Bank accounts.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's say you think about France. What do you think of? What comes to mind?
Stinky French people.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about maybe some French bread? Right?
Maybe.
Some wine?
Maybe. But mostly stinky French people.
Well, in that case, let's Frost. You know, you're on the right track, because I've thought about the fact whenever people think of Mexico, one of the things they think about is diarrhea. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Montezuma's Revenge.
I mean, that's right. It's like you can't go to Mexico without somebody, at least one person, saying, oh, you know, don't drink the water. You're going to be crapping yourself for days, right? And then what happens when you go and you say, oh, I had Mexican food? What do people think? Oh,
oh, well, you need to get to the have a bathroom handy.
Right. Mexico is associated with diarrhea. And so I see this story here. And it's from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I see explosive burrito in the headline. I think, oh, my gosh, where is this going? Right? And then I read the whole headline, and it says, burrito bomb threat. It says, an Albuquerque, New Mexico man wanted to go to federal prison to make the voices in his head go away, and he succeeded by calling the FBI's public access number and threatening to send a, quote, Taco Bell burrito with C4 explosives inside of it, end quote. Okay, now this is from NBC News. And he also said that he demanded to be sent to federal prison. And then he went on to say he wanted to stop the CIA and the NSA from beaming these voices into his head. You know, we were talking about this a while back. You remember that, Forrest?
Yeah.
We're getting more and more people out there who act like that they're going nuts because they're hearing voices and they believe that they're being beamed into their head. And it reminds me of what I talked about before with the Michael Rivera situation down here in Puerto Rico, because there is an outpost of HAARP here on the island. So that is an explosive burrito story with a new twist. We're going to take a break. When we come back, since we're, you know, on this kick talking about sort of security and government conspiracy and all this stuff, here's a very interesting story about a 9-year-old schoolgirl who is able to get on an airplane using a pretty outrageous passport. I'll tell you about that. And, another crazy airport story in Newark, New Jersey. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Springs. Fatal attraction is holding me fast.
say live and let die.
Joshua P. Warren, you are listening to Speaking of Strange, and there's plenty of weird news to report tonight. Of course, hour number two, I'm going to tell you some news that might be a little disconcerting about the U.S. military and what they are doing to spread disinformation and propaganda using the internet, and how I think I got a personal glimpse of this maybe around 10 years or so ago. Of course, Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you're there in the Asheville studio. Have you figured out the theme of tonight's bumper music yet, Shelley?
Oh, it all sounds like government conspiracy type stuff.
She's sort of not even near.
James Bondish. I don't know.
Just keep listening and see what you think.
I wasn't really listening to the music. You said, I'll just listen, you know, for the theme, and I didn't know you were talking about the bumper music. I've been doing other things while the music's been going.
So maybe we should give it to her. I mean,
let her listen a little bit more.
Okay, well, Shelley, you may have just gotten it, but we will let you listen a little bit more, okay? You said some pretty key words right there. Okay?
Well, all righty then.
Yes. I think the next bumper should solidify it, but yeah, you're on the right track. So listen to this. We were talking about, all this weird stuff happening with security and surveillance, and that's what the big topic of the day is. A 9-year-old schoolgirl was able to pass through customs on her way into Turkey. Okay, now this was Turkish customs, using a toy passport identifying her name as Pink Unicorn. Okay, literally. And they say that this passport had a little like bear design on it. And teddy bears. It doesn't even look real. Completely different size, and it got stamped. And they let this girl onto the airplane at Turkish customs. Now, I know you might think to yourself, "Well, who gives a crap about Turkish customs?" I have seen the movie Midnight Express.
Yes,
I would not be messing around with Turkish customs. You know what I'm talking about, Farah.
Yes.
That's a scary movie.
I mean, Turkey is pretty much your gateway to the Middle East right there also.
Yeah. And, Shelley, have you ever seen the movie Midnight Express?
No, I have not.
Yeah, that movie, it's a true story. And it's about this American who's over there in Turkey on some type of vacation, and he gets the bright idea to smuggle some drugs back, and so he tapes them to his abdomen. And he gets to the airport, and he's all sweaty and nervous, and, they realize he's got these drugs, and so they end up throwing him in this horrific Turkish prison for about 30 years or something like that. And the whole movie is, the true story of the abuse that he went through and the life that he lived over this dumb decision that he made. So,
yeah, this doesn't sound like something I would ever willingly watch.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of the theme.
Forrest has got the music going. Such a memorable soundtrack. The music from Midnight Express is all that really.
It is.
Yeah. And that script is hit by all of the stuff. Obviously, a very kind of like late 70s, early 80s type film. I'm not sure what year that came out.
78.
78, okay. So that's right when the electronica was starting to be used heavily in the films. Kind of like they did with Scarface.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So, okay, here's another airplane story. This is about a plane that was flying from Hong Kong to Newark, New Jersey. And at some point, a guy, let's see what happens. He stood up and announced that he had poisoned everyone on board.
Uh-oh.
And of course, he seemed very sincere, apparently, when he said this. And people were freaking out, of course. And the guy was somehow put into some detainment, and then when they landed, there were 10 cops waiting for him. The FBI was there, and they said that there was no indication that any of the 238 passengers had actually been poisoned. So, just another one of these idiots, or a guy who's just asking for it. Guy asking for trouble. Here's a story from the UK. Two disc-shaped UFOs spotted over a Berkshire pub. So this is in England. Says here, a man has photographed two of these things hovering. He was on the terrace of the Running Horse pub when he saw them in the distance about 8 p.m. It says they were heading southwest at high speeds. And this guy, I have not seen these photos yet, but I'm sure that they're probably posted at the Speaking of Strange Facebook page. And so, anyway, I read that and I say, okay, well, that's interesting because there's probably, you know, there's probably about 10 of these per day, but there didn't seem to be anything that special. Like, okay, guy sees a UFO, it's old hat now. But then right afterward, I see this next story that also came from England. Now, this is kind of weird. You can see how extreme the times are when you can read a UFO story and be like, that was normal. Now let's get to the weird UFO story, right? So, Shelley, I figured you would like this. Yeah, it says here a guy was photographing the moon, and he was stunned to see that he was able to capture the perfect silhouette of the TARDIS traveling in front of the moon.
I saw the picture.
But it's upside down.
You saw the picture?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, see, I'm down here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. I'm not up on all the images like you guys are. I haven't seen this yet. So what does it look like to you guys?
It looks like an upside-down TARDIS. It is amazing.
Now, I guess we should clarify for people who are not Doctor Who fans, what is the TARDIS, Shelley?
The TARDIS is a time machine. Well, yeah. I mean, you travel through space and time in this
phone
call box.
A London police call box.
Oh, you know, I can shoot you a picture of it from DragonCon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know what the TARDIS looks like. It just looks, like you said, I mean, it just looks like a call booth or a call box.
Blue police call box.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was in London last year, you would see those things all over the place, but they were really nasty. You go inside, people would be, like, peeing in them and everything. So I think that's what they actually are. They're just outhouses. And
they're big
London outhouses.
They're big London port-a-johns, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, do you guys think that this looks like a truly weird sight, or do you have an explanation?
I mean, I don't have an explanation for it. I mean, there's definitely some kind of light or something on the top bottom of it, like maybe Mickey got a hold of the TARDIS and was trying to fly it or something, but who knows? Or Captain Jack.
Captain Jack, okay.
You've got to start watching Doctor Who.
Are you a big Doctor Who fan, Forrest?
I've been watching it here a lot lately, yes.
Okay. All right, next story also has a relationship. It says here, in the UK, aliens get a public apology. Huh? Well, it says here that in an article headlined, Flying Saucers Over British Scientology Headquarters, the Sun had stated that, quote, two flat silver discs were photographed above the Church of Scientology headquarters, end quote. And they posted the image that was taken by a man on his cell phone. 2 days later, they received a strongly worded letter from lawyers representing the Church of Scientology about their copyright and demanding an apology. And so the Sun has said, here it goes, we apologize to any alien life forms for linking them to Scientologists.
Wow.
You know, the UK is just really blowing up with these UFO reports, but I wonder if it's the fact that, you know, more is happening there, or people there are just pursuing it more. They're really into it. I don't know. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, if you're looking for a job, you might want to apply for a new position at an Austrian hotel. I will explain when we come back. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's called Speaking of Strange. Some news for you about the links to which the government is going to spread disinformation and propaganda. And I'm going to tell you about a personal experience that I have had that shows the reality of this. So, okay, Shelley, what do you think the theme is to the bumper music? What's your latest?
Oh, crap. I haven't been listening. I've been looking up your UFO picture.
What?
Sorry.
Does that ring any bell for you?
Just tell me.
Well, the song is Carly Simon, Nobody Does It Better.
Right. I knew that.
Okay, well, in that case, we'll hold out because the bumper is going to have a theme throughout the whole show.
So I got to listen to the music and not do anything else.
Well, I guess.
Multitask.
You know, multitask.
I mean, you were so close. You were like 99%.
Well, if I'm 99% close,
but
then why can't you give it to me?
You got to give us a definitive answer with your positive that you know what the theme is.
Oh, God.
You can't say, is it da-da-da-da-da? You have to say, it's this.
Yeah. But you're so close, Shelley. It's just driving me crazy. You're so close.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy, too.
So, okay, and before we read a couple more news stories here and wrap up this hour, you know, last week on the show, hour number two, I announced Puppy Fest. Puppy Fest. That's right. You heard it right. It's going to take place Saturday, September 28th in Asheville, North Carolina. It's a huge puppy extravaganza, okay? I'm co-producing this thing. Go to puppyfest.com and learn about how you can be involved. You can bring your own puppies. You can come there and see all kinds of puppies. We're going to do crazy stuff with puppies. And we're going to be shooting a television pilot at the same time. So be sure to tell all your friends to go check out puppyfest.com. So if you are hard up for a job, well, in Austria, they are looking to hire a professional fool. That's right. They say it's no joke. A fancy Austrian hotel wants a modern-day court jester. They want someone who is communicative, extroverted, musical, creative, and imaginative. They are asking for applicants to bring and play their musical instrument during the job interview. Also, creative costumes. And whoever gets this position will earn around the equivalent of $1,900 US a month. The hotel director there says you should take this very seriously, that the idea is to treat guests like royalty, noting that, quote, jesters were a luxury that royal families indulge themselves in, end quote. What do you think, Forrest? Are you a candidate?
I think you're a great candidate,
fool?
Mr. Warren. I mean, just go there, bring your theremin, and like tell ghost stories. I think you'll be a great candidate.
Well, you know, actually, I do play a lot of instruments.
That's right.
I mean, can play just about anything.
I mean, you can walk around with like some like little jingle, like wear a little jester's hat with some jingle bells on the end of it, and I think you would be great, Mr. Warren.
Well, I don't know if I'm that funny. I'd like to think I'm funny enough to be a professional jester, but honestly, I don't think that I could be on and funny that much all the time. I think I'd become like a dark, evil jester, probably. But I could play things, and I'd be happy to put little dingley balls all over my outfit.
Little dingley balls?
Or maybe that's bells. Call them what you will. My goodness. It's already time for our next break. When we come back, we are going to talk about government conspiracy and propaganda, especially related to what's happening on the moon. Have you heard about the weird stuff that's been happening on the moon? I think that something to it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll dig into that and a lot more when we return. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.